and truth. It's time for the Stormtrooper to end.
We're here with running Stormtrooper Jez Allanson right now to talk to him a little bit about what he's doing and why he's been running as a Stormtrooper for so long.
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Always remember, your focus determines your reality.
Do or do not. There is no try.
This is a new day, a new beginning.
I fear nothing.
You gave them hope in their darkest times.
The Force is strong in this one.
Hello, welcome back to the Running Stormtrooper podcast. I'm Stuart Skinner, and I'm here, of course, with the Running Stormtrooper. It's Jez Allanson. Good evening, Jez.
Good evening, Stu. Good evening, everyone.
Happy New Year, Jez. First of January.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
2020 gone. Which some will say great, but obviously it was a big year for you, and obviously we've covered all sorts of issues with regards to the Running Stormtrooper. Anyone that listened to last month's show will realise that you had a lot of miles left to do in the final month. Did you hit your target?
Mate, I am delighted to say that I have well and truly hit my target.
You smashed it, mate. You smashed it. Obviously, we'll go through what that looked like in a minute, but I take it your injury held up all right?
Yeah, I've been really, really careful. I've been very, very lucky, and I'm just, yeah, it's just all gone well. You know, the last time we spoke was about this on the podcast was the recording exactly a month ago. It was December the 1st, and I'd just done my first run outside, sort of off the treadmill along the streets, and I had another 143.5 miles to run to complete the 1,000-mile challenge. And the thing is, I wanted to get it done in 2020, but I also wanted to get it done before Christmas. So I wanted to make my life even harder because I wanted to be able to enjoy the Christmas or enjoy it as much as we could do under the lockdown measures and everything. So as you know, I had the plan, and it was a 3-week plan to try and aim to finish on December the 20th. And yes, mate, on December the 20th, I ran the last run as the Stormtrooper.
That's it! We did it!
We did it!
Help! I think I'm melting. This is all your fault.
We're going to get onto it in a minute. Okay, you've had so many knockbacks over 2020 with runs being cancelled, marathons, all sorts. And then you had a wonderful finish planned. And yet again, COVID wiped you out. We will get onto that. You have been proper punched from every angle trying to get this done. Mate, massive congratulations, because you've just carried on. You just look at it and you do something different. And I mean, so many people would have given up this year. But it's been amazing that you've got through that in the time period, especially when you didn't run for over a month. I think that's
I think, you know, going back, I remember looking at a blog, and I think I put something on Facebook or Instagram back in March when COVID got really, really big in the UK. And I was just thinking, actually, I'm not sure if this is even possible. Am I going to cancel it? So, yeah, you're right. It has been setback after setback, knockback after knockback. I mean, we'll come on to the one which happened in the 11th hour. I couldn't believe that, the last day. And, it's been tough. I'm so glad it's over. I'm so relieved it's over, because it just became, you know, that sort of beast of burden. You know, I had to get it finished. I really, really wanted to get it finished. And I'm so pleased for the charities, for Make-A-Wish and Spread a Smile, that I've been able to get it done and get them not only some charity money, but some awareness and some extra publicity, which has just been perfect for them.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
I like the sound of that.
1st of December, 143.5 miles to run. Can you take us through? Let's go through the first couple of weeks then, because to be 143 miles must look on paper a daunting task.
Yeah, it was. But the worst part of it was just the weather and the the darkness. You know, I found it really, really difficult. So I was running with, you know, a chest light as well. It was quite nice in some respects to see all the Christmas lights. But I did exactly what I said I was going to do in the podcast. I did 4 6.5 mile runs during the week, which by the time, you know, you get dressed in the costume, which I've always said that getting dressed and getting undressed in the costume and just doing the bits which you need to do for each run probably takes about half an hour in itself. And then a 6.5 mile run will probably take me about an hour and 10, something like that, maybe about an hour and 12. And so when you add that up after, you know, day's work and it's in the dark, it was a bit of a challenge. I was then doing the 12 miles on the weekends. So that was the first 2 weeks, really.
Rest easy, son. You've had a busy day. You're fortunate to be all in one piece.
And it was then I started thinking about, right, how can I do this last week? And how can I finish? I started feeling confident, but it was all the planning now to go into the last week.
So going into the last week, how many miles did you have left at that point?
It was just 50 miles. It was because...
50 miles.
Yeah, so because of the 3 weeks, it was like, right, I'll do 50 miles in the first week, 50 miles in the second, and 50 miles in the third. And so, yeah, it was something like 49.6 I needed to do after having added up every single run, which I've done in costume, on my Garmin. So, yeah, it's all there. It's all tracked. But, yeah, the last one was 50. So I just broke it down again with a couple of shorter runs. Then I gave myself, what was it, the Thursday was going to be the rest day. And then I had the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday. Sunday was going to be my last day. And we'll come on to that in a minute. Because I had worked out a particular route, which was 18 miles. And so I was like, right, that's 18 miles. What else do I need to do on the Saturday and on the Friday to allow me to finish at the 18-mile point on the Sunday? So it was 2 8-mile runs. So one I was going to do locally around RAF Benson, where I work. You know, RAF Benson... the RAF have been really, really supportive and encouraging. So I just thought, right, I'll run around and I'll run around the domestic site where all the service families' accommodation are for the people who live on camp. And I'll run around, you know, there's a little school. So by the time I ran to the RAF station, I took my helmet off to show my ID. The guy on the gate had to throw up a salute. So I think it just must be rather random for him, you know, actually in a uniform salute and a guy in a stormtrooper costume. I then carry on running around camp. Everyone knows me as the lunatic anyway, but they have to obviously check who that lunatic is when he gets on camp. And so it was 2 miles to get to camp. I did, 4 miles running around camp and running, you know, just waving at people. And then 2 miles back. So that was my 8, and it was nice and easy, and it just felt like the right thing to do.
Because it's the right thing to do.
And then on the Saturday, it was my local village, my local town. So I thought, right, I'll try and capitalise on social media a little bit for this one. There's some local Facebook groups. So I was just saying, look, you know, people have been seeing me for the whole year, waving and stuff. Tomorrow is my last run. It's my sort of last run in the local area. And it'd be great to see people and hopefully get some more sponsorship. So I just used it as a platform to try and encourage people to sponsor me, saying this will be the last time you'll see me running in the local area through the market town and stuff. So that was great. So I had my flag with me, which wasn't a particularly bright idea. I mean... It was a bright idea because I needed it to aid the sort of whole visual appeal. And so people knew what I was doing. They could see quite clearly it said 1,000 miles. But with regards to it, it wasn't a bright idea. It's because it was really windy. So running in the costume is hard enough. Running in the costume after having run, you know, 120 odd miles is still hard enough, but then to top it off, you're running with a big flag, which is which was quite difficult. Yes, that was good. And one of the British Forces media company wanted to do an interview with me, so they met me halfway and did a little interview, which was lovely, and that's available online.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, which so that was quite good. And do you know what? It was lovely. That's probably one of my most enjoyable times from a running point of view, because I don't know, it's just really weird. Running from my local village, people had been asking me on Facebook what time and what my route was and stuff. And as I ran past a parade of shops, there must have been about, I don't know, 25 people or so outside waiting for me to run past. And, you know, they were all sort of clapping me through, which was lovely. That was really, really nice. And then as I was running along a sort of major A road towards our local town, there was a family complete with a bugler. A guy was there sort of trumpeting me along, sort of like, yeah, he was bugling me past, which I thought was really, really cool, really nice. And then, yeah, in the local town, just running through the marketplace. So it was, as the media people said to me, it was just a nice thing to see in a constant time of doom and gloom. You know, we should have been celebrating Christmas. Everything should have been really good and jolly. But, you know, we've got the constant tear increases and the lockdown restrictions and everything like that. So I think it was just nice for people to see something a little bit British crazy, maybe. It was just, you know, something a little bit different, but also something which people in our local area have been used to seeing. But it was that people knew that was my last run in the local area. So that was it. It was just a nice way to sort of finish off what was meant to be my last runs around here. So that everything was feeling good and everything was looking good for the final day.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Well, so let's get on to the final day, because let's first of all discuss what you were planning on doing, because you went away and you're crazy, actually. I think you phoned me while you were there. And the 18 miles, you decided to cycle to make sure it was 18 miles, which, yeah, first of all, is just bonkers.
It really was a silly thing. So I couldn't believe I was doing it. I just got so caught up in the moment. And yeah, so let's rewind. You know, people know that I've had a really good working relationship with Pinewood Studios, who have been brilliant for the Run Stormtrooper. And as you know, we did the 40 miler and the 100K there. And all throughout the year, you know, they've been mega keen to support, but have obviously been massively restricted with coronavirus. And, you know, these are multi-million pound industries, and they're not taking any chances. They're really, really worried about stuff naturally. So we just were monitoring the situation. We were looking at it. And then an opportunity also came up to do some running at Elstree Studios, which is obviously where Star Wars was originally filmed in 1976 for the 77 release. And I thought, oh, that's perfect, you know, because this will be our start where Star Wars started and our finish where Star Wars is in the moment, you know, the latest thing for it. So I just thought it was a nice little film journey. It had a little bit of, I don't know, there was just something about it. It just seemed right. It seemed appropriate. It seemed like a challenge, 18 miles. You know, I got out, mapped my run, and I put the two postcodes in. And I said, yeah, running or cycling. And it gave me this route, and it said it was just like 100 metres less of 18 miles. So I thought, brilliant, amazing. Let's do that. So it was all looking great for this Elstree to Pinewood. But I thought, right, yeah, I need to check it out. I need to check out this route. I need to make sure that there's a decent pavement everywhere. And I've told you how difficult it is running in the costume. You know, I struggle with curbs. I struggle with uneven roads. And I wanted to make sure it was safe. And I wanted to know how hilly it was as well. So on the Wednesday, I took the Wednesday off of work. So that final week, I took the Wednesday off. I drove to Pinewood and I got into their visitor's car park. Got my mountain bike out. I cycled from Pinewood to Elstree.
Right now I feel like I'm taking on the whole empire myself.
I know what you mean.
But it was hilly. It was really hilly. In fact, my Garmin said to me, highest ascent. Yeah, I got a record that day for the hilliest sort of climb I had done. And so I knew that this would be an absolute challenge. But it was, cool.
Sorry, I'm just going to jump in there then. So you cycled to L Street and then cycled back.
Yeah, it was the most stupid idea.
A week when you're running 50 miles, you've had a bad injury, you've already done 100 miles that month.
Yeah.
You then decide to cycle 36 miles.
Yeah, I didn't think it through, mate. It was... I've got one of these bikes. I mean, it's a lovely mountain bike, so it's not really, you know, designed for the road so much. But I've got one of these razor-sharp saddles. And I was just thinking, what on earth are you doing? In fact, this is probably the first time you've been on your bike, you know, maybe the third time you've been on your bike this year. And both the other two times have been to, you know, to go to a local shop or just to test it out. I think the furthest I've been in about last 4 years is about 3 miles on my bike to the pub. It was rainy. And I was just thinking, I was about 4 miles in. And I'm like, right, I'm not even quarter of the way. And I've got to do this journey again. And then tonight I've got 10 miles to run. That's right. I remember because the day before I was so late back from work. I only ran six. I had some like, I had 10 miles to run because I knew that the following day was my rest day. And it was like, oh man. So I had to cycle 36 miles and then do a run as a stormtrooper. It was a silly idea.
Well, God, I had to say to you, mate.
Yeah, I know. I was. It wasn't one of my best ideas, but I needed to do this route recce, and I was then content with the route. I knew exactly where I was going to get changed. There's a Tesco's right next to Elstree, and but that was it. It was on the Saturday morning. It was just after my Saturday run, where I had run around the local town, that I had a phone call from the BBC.
I like the sound of that.
And you know, we spoke a while ago about, oh, I just need that big break. I need that one thing, like when we had the Lad Bible video, when that went viral, you know, 2.2 million hits on a Running Stormtrooper Lad Bible thing. And it was just like, yeah, I just need that little nudge. I need that break. And I thought it was coming on the Saturday when the BBC phoned me and said, we've heard what you're doing tomorrow. Where are you running? And I'm like, right, yeah, L Street to Pinewood. And they're like, right, we will get a cameraman to you at Pinewood. And we want you to be on the BBC breakfast show. And I'm like, what? National news? National TV? Yeah. Because up until now, it's just been sort of more regional based. And they were like, yeah, we want you on the Sunday breakfast show. We'll have a camera and we'll do a piece. Send us a load of photographs, send us a load of videos you've got, and we'll do a nice little introduction for you, and it'll all be great. It was just a great opportunity. It was a great opportunity. So we were messaging back and forth then on sort of WhatsApp, and everything was looking brilliant. I was so pleased with it. You know, I'd done this route recce, and the BBC were going to be there. It was all looking great for the final day. Both the charities were going to be at Pinewood Studios. The Pinewood Studios rep was going to be at Pinewood Studios. They had a finish line banner for me, which is the same finish line banner which I've had for the 100K and for the 40 miler. And it was all sorted.
This is not going to go the way you think. For Phil. Your destiny.
And then I got a message from the BBC saying, we've just heard that Boris Johnson is just going to be placing London into Tier 4 in about 45 minutes. They had obviously, as news people, been sort of tipped off that this was going to happen. And immediately I was like, oh, no, hang on a second. Normally they give a couple of days notice, and then BBC like, no, this is going to happen tonight at midnight, we're pretty sure. And then lo and behold, because of coronavirus, most of London, or all of London, was placed in Tier 4, which included Elstree Studios. So I couldn't travel there, and you just couldn't enter a Tier 4 area or leave. So Pinewood were outside of it, but the whole thing was off. And then Pinewood were saying to me, well, you can still finish here if you want. But I know it just didn't seem right. I'd be sort of arbitrarily just running around trying to get 18 miles up to finish at Pinewood when, you know, it just didn't feel right. The whole Shine, again, it had been yet another punch. But as we said, right at the last minute.
This one was so late in the day, wasn't it, as well? Because your run was on the Sunday, yeah?
Yeah.
This was 5 o'clock on Saturday evening, wasn't it, Saturday, this announcement?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I refueled the car and everything. You know, we were packed and ready to go, and it was all sorted. I'd done all my announcements and everything. And it was just a case of, oh, no. So I was speaking with the charity reps and saying, look, I don't know what to do. I just want to finish this. I don't want to be rude, but I just want to finish this now. And, you know, I was so close to the end. And the charity reps were saying, look, regardless of where you run it, just do it. But we can't be there because we're in tier four. So you are running this on your own. You're just, you know, that's it. Because they had been placed in tier four at 5 o'clock that day. So I just felt bad for the charity people because, you know, they'd got some balloons and, you know, a few bits and pieces and whatnot. I think they were looking forward to it. So it's a case of, right, damage limitation. You know, I saw this opportunity of the BBC just, oh, it just slipped away from me. And I just thought, I was so close. That was it. So close. And then I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to do what I did for the virtual marathon, the London virtual marathon, which is I'm just going to run around camp. And I know I had said that the previous 2 days on the Friday was the last time, but I contacted the station commander for RAF Benson and I just said to him, you know, it's his station essentially, and I just said, look, can I have permission to run around the technical site, like the airfield side, rather than just the domestic? Can I just run around again? I've just got 18 miles to do, and then we'll probably try and make some sort of thing of the finish, you know, just trying to do something. And this could be, you know, an opportunity for the RAF to sort of say, you know, yeah, you know, let's continue to support. And obviously the station commander said yes. So that was that. So I had a plan B. It wasn't the great plan. It was far from what I wanted, but it was a plan B. And then the BBC contacted me and said, oh no, we're still interested. We'll send a cameraman wherever you are. We will get a cameraman to you. To which my, you know, you can imagine my sort of, you know, hopes picked up, my heart picked up and everything. And I was just like, oh, amazing. Oh, brilliant. Oh, great. So they just said to me, yeah, can you meet us at 20 past eight? And I did. So, oh, no. There was one problem on the morning, which you're not aware of. What? So the night before, Stu, what a lot of people do when they do run in, is they do what's called a flat lay. Now, you might have seen this on my Instagram or stuff, when people lay out their vest, lay out their shorts and their socks and their trainers, like with a running bib number, and it's like the obligatory night before shot, and called the flat lay. And I just thought, right, I'm going to do my last flat lay, which is where I had all my kit and sort of caboodle, all my armour, everything laid out. Takes a while to set up on these photographs because of the amount of armor pieces, but there's a definite part of the way in which my costume is constructed that doesn't look at all Star Warsy, right? Let you into a little sort of trade secret now, that the first thing which I put on top of like my running tights and my running vest and everything like that is a belt. A traditional belt which you would have to hold your jeans up or your trousers or what have you, right? So this is just a regular belt which I've been using since the beginning, which doesn't look sporty. It's nothing to do with Star Wars. It's all hidden under bits and pieces, but it's like the main spine which holds everything together. And I forgot it because I didn't include it in the flat lay. So I sort of packed up flat lay, got everything sorted, got it in my box, arrived at camp, found somewhere on camp to quickly get changed, met up with the, before I got changed, met up with the cameraman, everything, had a quick chat with him, start getting everything out. Where's the belt? Oh, no. Oh, no, I left that out of the photo. Oh, and I didn't have the belt with me, and we were going to be live on air in 15 minutes, and I couldn't even get the costume on. So it was a case of, oh, oh my God. So I just had to phone up my wife and say, babe, find me the belt. I think it's downstairs on the sofa by here. Flat lay issue. Quick, find me, find the belt and get here, please, as quick as you can. So,
or old Jules.
Yeah. So she finds the belt and she drives. And it was just like something on, you know, some wedding day morning panic sort of all around. Gets the belt, rushes it to me. In which day, you know, we're like 8 minutes to go.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
I'm trying my hardest to get ready. And then the cameraman calls out and he's like, oh, the person they were going to have on before you is a no-show. Can you be ready in 2 minutes? And I'm like, ah. So managed to get dressed and get everything on. And then, yeah, we end up doing our piece to camera. And it was just, you wouldn't believe the panic behind. You watch this video now and it's just all sort of, you know, calm, this, that and the other. But I tell you, the minutes leading up to that, it was absolute chaos.
And, you look so relaxed.
Mate, I tell you, it was just, when I couldn't find that belt, I was just like, oh no. It was one of those moments when I would have died if I'd been trying to get hold of Jules, my wife, and her phone was on silent or something or other. But no, fortunately, bless her, yet again, she saved the day. And I managed to get my belt and get everything on. But I didn't get to warm up. I didn't get to do anything like that. I did the interview, which we'll come on to a bit. But it was, yeah, that wasn't the way to start the run. And again, right, it was the strangest thing ever. I'm sure other runners find this, right? I could go out, well, today I did a 6.5 mile run earlier on. So I did a 10K earlier on. Not a problem. You do a public race 10K, I don't sleep very well the night before, sort of have upset stomach and all that sort of stuff. And it's just one of those things about race and then the body's way of reacting to like a big event or something like that. So, you know, I've done these runs before, 18 miles, 20 miles further. And if I'm just running on my own, that's not a problem whatsoever. But because this was the last one and because of the TV and because of COVID and because of everything else, yeah, I did not sleep the night before. I did not sleep at all well. So, yeah, nothing was really going well for me in the last 24 hours.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Mate, that's crazy. Like I said to you, my brother-in-law texted me, actually. He went, is your mate on BBC News? And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And I was like, and I just looked at you, and I'm sure, like a lot of people in the country, I was sweating just looking at you.
Yeah, I do like the fact that quite a few of my friends were taking a mick out of me for a certain thing the lady said whilst we were interviewing. I mean, the interview itself went on for a while. They gave me a good bit of airtime and a nice little bit of video beforehand. But yeah, it was one comment which the lady made.
Wow, you're obviously an incredibly modest man, and I'm getting sweaty just looking at you running in that outfit. I think we're going to have to let you.
it was just, yeah, it was quite a funny little comment which you made, but yeah, hot and sweaty.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
So the run began then, didn't it? So
yeah, so what they said they were going to do is they had to give me, it was all sort of coronavirus safe, they gave me a brand new earpiece and they were trying to get me to put it on, but it was difficult for me to put it on because when I'm in costume, I can't articulate my arms particularly well. I you know, really, really struggling to put stuff in my ears. You know, as I said, I can't touch my toes. I don't have a great deal of freedom of movement when I'm in the costume. So we were trying to get me to get all this stuff fitted to me. And the idea was to do the interview. And then they were going to follow me running for about 100 meters or so. And in fact, at the end of the video, you do see me starting to run slowly because the cameraman was like, look, I'm not a runner, just run slowly and I'll just keep up with you, but just run, please, please, just run slowly.
Run, stormtrooper, run!
Fundraising has been really, really difficult, but to get this opportunity on national TV to do something particularly about charity for Make-A-Wish and Spread a Smile, it was an opportunity I thought would be really, really worthwhile. But I didn't realise how worthwhile, because What was great about it was the way they had it set. I was just right by the Spitfire Gate Guardian outside RAF Benson. So there was the whole sort of military thing, but the whole children's thing and the whole Star Wars thing. I think actually the way in which the BBC did it, I think it just appealed to a lot of people, but also the conditions as well, because people are just seeing constant negativity on the news. It just did seem like a good story.
I like the sound of that.
And it's lovely when you get a sponsorship notification because you get a little buzz on your wrist or you get a little email come through. And within 30 seconds of this interview finishing, buzz, 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 buh, 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 and it was just non-stop. It was like, what's going on here? And I couldn't actually do anything on my watch apart from look at these notifications coming in. I mean, which was brilliant, but I couldn't actually see. I couldn't start my watch. I couldn't do anything on my watch because I was just buzz, 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 notifications. So I knew that they weren't filming anymore. So I stopped and looked at my watch. I looked at my phone, and it was like 50, 60, 70 emails, just donation, donation, donation. And you could just imagine, like, I was just jubilant. Then I saw, like, £50, £100. And then I saw an anonymous donation of £1,000. I was just like, wow, this is incredible. My target, I was already delighted with, because when I woke up on that morning, when I woke up on the 20th of December, I had just reached my 14,000 target. So I was over by about £10 or so. So £14,000 I was at. And then within the space of 5 minutes, I looked at my phone and it said 16,000. And then 17,000 and rising. And I couldn't believe it. I had to turn the notifications off of my watch because I just needed to be able to run and see what was going on. And I could still see the notifications coming on my phone. But mate, I carried on running. I put my helmet on and I had the biggest grin underneath that helmet. And I was just like, don't matter. You got 18 miles to run. Grizz it out. Just hang on in there. Your foot can be fine. You have 18 miles. You will get this done in 3 hours and 12 minutes. and let's just hold on, because you are getting sponsorship now for these charities. And it was the best feeling. And the rate then started to drop off, you know, the frequency. But for that first half an hour, 45 minutes, it was unbelievable the amount. I think I must have had about 400 donations. And having read through all the little notes and all the well wishes and things people had put on my Virgin Money Giving site about what they had seen, it was lovely. Really, really nice. So, I was already flying high before I'd even run the 3 miles.
Brilliant, wasn't it? I must admit, I mean, it's been an ongoing theme when we've been recording this podcast that the fundraising isn't as high as what you probably would have achieved with a non-COVID year, with doing little events here and there. But to have that at the end, I mean, you said that the charities are suffering this year. What a way to finish.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. The charities have really suffered and they've really struggled this year. They've had to adapt. You know, they've had to change their wishes. They've had to change, you know, these children still need the support. They still need the hospital visits or the entertainment in the hospital. So the Spread a Smile have now been sort of switching to a more virtual entertainment world themselves. So rather than having these entertainers and magicians and stuff go in, they've been doing it live, but with the use of screens and stuff. So they've had to innovate. They've had to come up with great ideas, but they haven't had the sponsorship. So yeah, this was, you know, we talk about jabs, you know, vaccines and stuff, but this was the shot in the arm that my sponsorship needed this year. It was great. I mean, so the rest of the run was pretty uneventful, really. I had a guy joined me for about 6 miles or so at the 3 mile point, so he got me to the halfway point. We just socially distanced, chatted all the way around, which was great. I was stopping every 3 miles, and so that was just for fuel and for drinks, and also to cheekily check out how my fundraising was going. And yeah, it was great. So got to the 9 mile point, 12 mile point, 15 mile point. That's when I phoned my wife and said, right, I will be finished at this time. And there's not much more to report really about the last run, apart from the cloud, which I stopped and took a photograph of, because as you know, we're both sort of Star Wars nerds and stuff like that. And I was just in my own little Jez world running along, just thinking, yeah, I've got 3 miles to do, 3 miles to do, 3 miles to do. I know I've hit my target. I know I've hit my fundraising target. This is all good. And I looked up at the cloud, and maybe I just was hallucinating, I don't know, but to me the cloud was in the shape of Yoda from Star Wars. So I looked at this cloud and I was just like, oh, there's the pointy ears, there's the heads, there's in fact there's two eyes, because the previous blog which I'd written was called Do or Do Not, There Is No Try. And I just thought, well, yeah, Yoda's there sort of wishing you well. That's just where I was. Maybe I was just, I don't think I was dehydrated, but maybe I was, you know, maybe I was seeing things. But I stopped to take a photograph of that.
Soon will I rest? Yes. Earned it, I have.
And that was the only thing of interest on a rather dull run, which was just 18 laps of a one mile little loop which I had made. And yeah, it was great. So I finished, that was it. There was no planned ticker tape thing, you know, that was all at Pinewood. There was no finish line, there was no charities there or anything like that. It was all fairly subdued. But what was nice is, you know, station commander was there, there's a chap who took some photographs for me, and my boss was there as well, and obviously my wife and family. So finished, loads of photographs, and that was it. It was done. But mate, it was done in such a way that I was so pleased. We'd managed to sort of, you know, get victory from the jaws of defeat with regards to the constant COVID issues and the cancellations and the last minute cancellations, and got it done. I'm over the moon.
Yeah, you've done so well, mate. Well done. Well done. Just before we move on from fundraising, can you just give out where people can just fundraise, even if there's just one last person to stick a fiver in your tin?
Yeah, mate, that would be great. And I'd be really, really grateful for anything. So it's virginmoneygiving.com/the Running Stormtrooper Project. So virginmoneygiving.com/the Running Stormtrooper Project. And everything, all details, links, etc., are on my link tree. So Stormtrooper Run's link tree or stormtrooperrun.com. So plenty of ways of people finding out how they can make a sponsorship donation. This money is all going to get spent on poorly children and those kids who really, really need it. So no, anything is really greatly appreciated.
Yeah, that's what this whole thing has been about, hasn't it, mate?
I like the sound of that.
Now, Jez, before we do any kind of closing out, you were heavily assisted early on in your running Stormtrooper days with the supply of the costume and help with the costume. Well, I'll let you explain it, how this came about.
Yeah, so I've said before in previous episodes how, you know, I had this crazy idea of wanting to do it, and I thought, yeah, absolute Star Wars lunatic, but first of all, I need to get hold of a costume. So I contacted our friends, Mark Newbold and James Burns, who were at Jedi News, and said to them, look, you know, I really want to do this, and but how do I go about getting myself a costume? You know, it's hard work. Where do I begin? And being very well-connected people, they said to me, don't worry, we'll look into this for you. So it was the Jedi News guys who got into communication with the UK garrison, and then they phoned me back and said, we've got a contact for you. We've got a contact called Steve Buckley, who had actually run the London Marathon in probably 2012, 2013, I think it was, as Stormtrooper, and had offered to loan me his retired costumes. This was like, you know, the one which he no longer used because he had a pristine one for his UK garrison duties. Now, I'm actually going to bring Steve into the conversation now, because I just wanted to, you know, have the opportunity to have a chat with him, have a catch up, and thank him and UK garrison for all the work which they've done, because Steve, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening to you, Jez, and to you, Stu.
Evening, mate.
Mate, it's great to chat with you. It's been ages. Happy New Year to you. I hope you're well.
Yes, yes, all good. Yes, Happy New Year to the both of you as well. Hopefully 2021 is going to be a much bigger and brighter year for us all.
Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Steve, we'll just go back to this. So this was in late 2015 that I think Jedi News would have contacted you and or Mark or James, and you kindly agreed to lend me your loaner. So you ran in the original costume. When was it? 2013 or so?
Even later than that. I've done the London Marathon three times in the costume. It was 2005, 2008, and 2010 was the last time.
Wow, right.
And, then it sort of went away into the loft.
Yeah. And that's where it stayed. So when they contacted you and said, right, yeah, we've got this guy who wants to do it, to you, it's one of those things of, oh, yeah, I pet you the fool. I know what that's going to be like. I know that's going to chafe. It was great because it just shows the community. It shows what people are like, you know, in UK Garrison or in Star Wars community in general, that you agreed to lend a complete stranger something which, you know, for quite a while had been your pride and joy and was certainly, you know, something which needed to be looked after. And what compelled you to loan it in the first place?
I was just glad to see it getting used again, to be honest. I mean, it was my original trooping costume, but as you know, we had to do some modifications to it to make it a little bit more comfortable to be able to run in it. And then I got myself another proper trooping costume, but I didn't want to throw this one away because for sentimental reasons, you know, I ran the marathon in it. Yeah, so I kept it in the loft as a keepsake, and I was overjoyed when you know, Mark and James got in touch to say there's another nutter out there who thinks he can run a marathon in a costume. It was fantastic just to see it getting used again. I mean, I'd always had the dream of getting a whole squad of troopers running the marathon, but nobody in the garrison and none of my friends were slightly interested. So yeah, when I heard about what you wanted to do, I thought, yeah, let's crack on and help as much as possible.
Brilliant. And I was so, so grateful. So you lent me your original costume, which I used very gratefully in 2016. I think got it back to you not long after that, you know, a month or so later, yeah. I think. And then that was it. And as we know, and Stu and I have chatted about in this podcast before, then I had another idea of doing it again the following year. And I had a very, very busy 2017 planned. And that's when you very, very kindly came up with another solution, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I know we did look at possibly using the suit again, but it was by that time getting a bit tired. And I had many years ago, when I first joined the garrison, I had bought a spare costume. And again, that has been taking up loft space. So I thought, you know what, it can either sit there collecting dust, or I can give it to you to use permanently for all of these crazy escapades you decided to do.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe that. So there you were with a kit. So, this hadn't even been made into a costume, had it?
This was
it in kit form, but without the helmet. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And now is the time when we'll just mention a mutual friend of ours. So Phil Parker was in the UK garrison. And he actually worked at RAF Odeon, where I was working at the time. And I remember your original suit. I think whilst I'd been out on a training run, I had worried myself because there was a slight bit of damage done to it whilst I was running. And I took it into the where he worked, not having met him before and not having had any sort of running stormtrooper sort of work whatsoever with him. And it just so happened that he was exactly the right person for me to find, because he said, I know whose suit that is. I know exactly whose suit this is, because, it was such a small world. So Phil kept the 2016 costume on the road, but Phil was the, you refer to it as the armourers, don't you, when it comes down to assisting.
That's right, yeah.
Putting kits together. So Phil assisted or was the main man behind getting the armour put together for me. And then it was Ross Walmsley, who's very well known within the Star Wars costuming world, and in fact has his own Star Wars costuming company, creative genius behind some very, very good costuming, aids, props, equipment and armour, and very, very kindly donated me a helmet. So it was a full-on UK Garrison, you know, push behind a system here. You know, I'm not Garrison member, but the guys I found really, really helpful, really can do, because they knew that this was all in the aid of charity. So it was great. It was a real team effort. And yeah, so that was the costume which I ran in 2017 and 2018. And I still remember, because I've still got your original one in my loft, which you, yes, which you lent me until this costume was built. And with the fact that she's been busy, I think I've been to Afghanistan 3 times since then, and this year just in lockdown, I will get you your original costume back as soon as I can. And yeah, with certainly a slab of beers or whatever I owe you for it. Because I just, you know, when we first came up with this plan, it was to try and raise £2,000 in 2016. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with how things have gone, but with...
I have. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, yeah, I absolutely doff my cap to you and all of your support team who've helped you do all the various events you've done. I mean, I can't believe it's been 5 years that I've known you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we first started this, and what you've raised and the things you've done in that time is absolutely outstanding, mate.
Well, thanks so much, mate. You know, I just wanted to say that from what we were doing together to raise £2,000 collectively, you know, if it hadn't have been for Jedi News, you know, now Jedi News and Fanta Tracks, and if it hadn't been for the UK Garrison, if it hadn't have been for you and Phil and Ross, this wouldn't have happened. And so yeah, you know, Stu has been with me all the way through this. I've had great support network. Pinewood Studios have been brilliant. And you know, as you and I met at the European premiere of The Rise of Skywalker, again we bumped into each other in London. And it was just a chance meeting, and you know, we said, you know, we've got all these plans and we were going to run together, we were going to be running at Pinewood, but who knew, coronavirus has just driven a coach and horses through absolutely everything. But the one thing which has stayed firm and has stayed loyal to this whole project is the support of you, Phil, and Ross and Stu and all of the friends and all the Star Wars community. So, mate, it's just a massive thanks ever so much.
You're most welcome. Us geeks have to stick together.
Absolutely, and we are geeks, and we do hit our target.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Now, just before, you know, we let you go, thanks ever so much, mate. Is there, I know, UK Garrison, you know, these guys have, it's been a tough old year for them, I imagine, with the fact that they probably, you know, can't be doing trooping and stuff like that. But is there any sort of message, or is there anything, you know, if people wanted to get hold of the UK Garrison or just wanted to find out a little bit more about your community, how can they reach out to you guys?
Absolutely, yes, thank you. Like I say, we do have, we're on the internet, we're www.ukgarrison.co.uk. If you go on there, you can find out all about the club, and there is a little link that says book us. Obviously, as you say, due to a coronavirus at the moment, we've not been able to do much trooping. We've been doing lots of virtual troops, sending lots of video messages, particularly to children who are currently sick and in hospital. So that's been mostly what we have been doing. We have managed to do a few socially distanced events, but yeah, it has been difficult. But like I say, if people want to go to that website, we're also, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, just type in UK Garrison and it'll pop up, and you'll be able to find out more about what the club does, who we are, and different ways of getting in touch with our events team to look at potentially booking us for events when restrictions do get lifted later on this year.
That's brilliant, Steve. Look, thanks ever so much. Please pass on my regards to everyone in the UK Garrison, you know, Ross, and all the gang, and yeah, I'm indebted to you, and it's just been brilliant. And I know it's cheesy as hell, but may the force be with you.
And you, Jez, it's been an absolute honour to help you on this journey, and I look forward to seeing you running in the Biker Scout this year.
yeah, that's I was going to say
much easier.
Yeah, this is. I'm just going to pass the ball to Stu, I think, because.
Mate, yeah. I struggle to run a bath, so let's not get into that.
Now, the Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together.
Before we close out, just to reflect on a year, it's been a tough year. You've been on tour with your work, so it's been a real up and down. Like we said earlier, everything, so many things cancelled. So I just want to ask you a few questions, and just to finish off our final podcast together.
Yeah.
But first of all, you've run 1,000 miles in this costume with all the time collated. How much time have you spent running? And also, can you then add how much time you spent putting on the costume?
Yeah.
To that total.
Yeah. And you can tell I've had a couple of days off work here, and now I'm not running, so all of a sudden I've got a lot of spare time. I've gone through every single Garmin run where I was in costume from January to December. It's 105 runs. And started off 10 in January, and then it was around about the 6, 8, 6, 10, 9, 9, 8, 9, 8, and then 5 in November, but then a massive 17 in December with my 3 rest days. And on average, I've been running it on average around about sort of 10-minute miles, so often a little bit longer. But in total, it was 169 hours, 19 minutes and 57 seconds of running. So that's 7 days, 1 hour, 19 minutes, 57. Or alternatively, mate, it's now, what, Friday night? And so it was a week and 1 hour. So if you imagine now, I'm going to dress you up in a Stormtrooper costume and you're going to go running for a week. And in a week's time, I'll just say, stop. You have been non-stop running for exactly a week. That, when you think about it like that, that is a long time to be wearing that costume. You know, there's only 52 weeks in the year, so it's a whole week of running. And I have said, when it comes to getting changed into the costume, dressed into the costume, and then the sort of, you know, the getting out of it, the cleaning and a bit repair, sort of running work and stuff, so I reckon each run you need to add another half an hour onto the actual run itself. So with 105 runs, yeah, that's over 52 hours. So well over 2 days of just getting dressed. Just clothes on, clothes off for 2 full days. That's that's a lot of my life, isn't it, spent this year just putting on a Stormtrooper costume. So yeah, 105 troops, 105 armoured runs this year. And yeah.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Yeah, it's crazy when you sum it up like that. But
that's a lot of wet wipes, and it's a lot of washing, and and it's a lot of Febreze. But yeah, it's
how does the costume smell now you finished?
No, the costume's all right. It had a really good spruce up. You know, it had a gold star car wash standard for the BBC, but it. You know, the straps, I'd be taking the straps off and trying to wash them so they would wash, but the straps wouldn't shrink and all this sort of stuff. So the undergarments, the running tights and the long sleeve running tops, I would obviously wash after each run, and they were fine. But the actual plastic itself, because it's of that plastic, so you know, the ABS plastic, which doesn't absorb sweat because it's plastic, so you know you can see visible dried sweat on it, so that's hence all the wet wipes and me cleaning it down each time. But the actual costume doesn't smell. The inside of the helmet probably was where I would Febreze it the most, I think, just because of the foam in the cradle and the various things which I had in there. But it's fine. I'd put it on now, but I've vowed that I'm not wearing that costume again. It's already on a mannequin. It's already cleaned, and it's already on a mannequin, which is far more hench than I am. And this is a strapping mannequin. And so I've got it in my shed. Well, some people call it shed. I call it my summer house. But I've got it in there. And, it doesn't quite look right on the mannequin because the mannequin is so big. But it's I'm not planning on wearing it again. I'm not wearing it again.
not planning. That was the
sentence. Yeah, I realised. Yeah,
I'm not planning on wearing it.
No, because what I've said is I'm not doing any more runs in it. I'm not doing any more runs. But if another school said to me, when all this COVID's over, oh, can you come around and do another assembly? Because I did quite a few assemblies last year and the year before. And so that is the only time when I would do it. I'm so done with the running in this costume. I really, really am. I mean it.
We'll always be with you. No one's ever really gone.
Right, Jez. So that 4 year, what was the biggest high? What was the biggest high moment?
Oh, mate, there's been so many. I think the first Pinewood finish line with the little Make-A-Wish lad, which was brilliant. You know, he was dressed as a biker scout and we crossed the finish line. That was lovely. Guinness World Records, that was great. It's the Star Wars celebration stuff was all good, but I don't think I've ever been a happier me in my little Jez bubble when I was running along and I was getting all those notifications on my phone for the sponsorship going in. It was just knowing that in this world of doom and gloom at the moment, you know, getting this money for these charities was just brilliant. And so yeah, I've had loads of highs, mate. You know, the people we've met, the things which we've done, but doing that whole thing where you just prove to people that no, that old folklore of Stormtrooper can't hit his target, you know, that old joke which I hear all the time, no, we've smashed every one of our targets and I'm so pleased about that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise.
And obviously, the opposite side of that is it's been a tough year. What about the lows?
Lows, I think, yeah, apart from the obvious, you know, where I've had, this year's been full of lows, really. You know, the injury thing and every setback, every time I've fell over was a low. You know, when I would crack the costume, you know, and fortunately, I've not fallen over now in the costume for 2 years, but yeah, it was just difficult. I think lows sometimes, you know, you do a long run or you do something, you get on radio to try and promote the idea and to get the sponsorship and then just nothing comes in. Sometimes the low is you realise actually you've not had any sponsorship in four or five weeks or so, but, and then you'll get a run and then you'll turn it around and something positive will happen. So yeah, there are highs and lows, but I think I've had far more highs than lows, even with everything this year.
Yeah, lovely.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Every morning when you look in the mirror, it must be a funny moment. But with regards to the running, what's been the funniest moment?
I think, well, it's between two, both of which happened to me this year, both of which happened to me this year in Afghanistan when I took the costume away with me. And as I said to you, I'd be doing late at night runs. You know, I'd be doing runs after I'd finished flying for the day and I was running around my little, what we call the dispersal, where the aircraft take off from. And this is it, Kabul International Airport. And so I'd be running along and you'd see other aircraft take off. And you'd see stuff happening and an aircraft would be taxiing along and then taking off. And it wasn't that busy, the airport. I mean, this is an international airport, which is really busy, but I was there at the height of the coronavirus pandemic and there wasn't much. But I remember running along and stopping a 747 cargo aircraft, which was going along the taxiway. And they just so happened to look down and across and saw a Stormtrooper running across Kabul International Airport to sort of little area, and the brakes came on this huge colossal 747 cargo plane, and I just saw this head sort of appear at the window and take a little photograph of me, and then obviously started up again and carried on going, and I just thought, I wonder how many runners have actually stopped a 747 cargo plane. So that made me chuckle under my helmet. That was a funny one. And the next one was, it could have been the same night, could have been any other night, they all looked the same, they all felt the same, was, I don't know if we said this on a previous podcast, this might ring a bell to you,
with the wild dogs. Have I told you that one before?
No.
Yeah, so there's a lot of dogs running around, and you know, you worry about rabies, you worry about dog attacks and stuff. And actually, they're probably just lovely dogs who are just really hungry, not necessarily dangerous, but they're just really, really hungry. And we hear stuff about, you know, wild dogs coming out, going through bins and doing various things. And I was running along, and I think it was one night when I was just doing my whole, right, I know that I was running around my little loop, and I was so tired, I was like, right, if I just shut my eyes now, I can just run for 50 metres and I'll open my eyes again and it'll be fine because there's nothing around. And I was running along, and I just got to the point where I opened my eyes and just saw a dog just ahead of me, and I immediately sort of put the anchors on. And so there's me in full Stormtrooper costume with a sort of wild dog just staring at me, me staring at it. We're both in some sort of Mexican standoff. Because I just didn't know what was going to happen. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. So I sort of started gesturing at the dog and sort of, you know, trying to shoo it away and sort of, you know, make gestures with my foot like I was trying to kick a ball and stuff. And I just didn't know what to do. And because my vision was so limited as well, it's like looking through two toilet tubes. I was like, are there any other dogs around here? So then I was like, you know, you could just picture it. If you were just watching from, I don't know, some room or from some security tower or whatever, you just see this Stormtrooper suddenly appearing massively paranoid and just looking around rapidly for, like, you know, the pincer movement from another wild dog. And so it was just this dog ahead of me, and me and him just had this standoff for a while. And yeah, I got a little bit concerned for my welfare for a while, and eventually I sort of managed to shoo him off. But the rest of that run that night, I was on massive, just I was on high alert. Not through any sort of, you know, insurgents or anything like that, but just because of a small dog.
I'm just picturing you like the rabid hyenas out of The Lion King.
That was it.
Coming in from each side.
Yeah. It was weird. Weird times.
Move along.
Now, Jez, at the end of the last month's show, you had a fantastic opportunity for one of your sponsors to win a pair of trainers donated by Brooks. How's that gone? Have you got a winner?
Mate, we are gonna generate a winner now, tonight. It's an incredible offer from Brooks.
I like the sound of that.
So I put this out on social media, Facebook and on Instagram, and also I put it out at work as well, because initially the uptake on Instagram in particular was really low. I only had about five or six people do a sponsorship. So this was for the whole month. So December the 1st to the 31st. And I had one guy join in yesterday. So it was Ian Steve OPT did a donation yesterday on the 31st of December. So he's in. So I've got a whole variety of people from Instagram, Mama Maz Runs, Lee Campbell, Zoe Love Shots, Lee Brace, Kim, Sophie Bevan Runs, Peter Lee, Andy Cole. So I've got 34 people here on my list in total now.
I like the sound of that.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a photograph of that list. So I've just taken a photograph of the list which I have, which has got all of the names, right? So what we have now, I've got that photograph. I'm going to send that to you. Right, so you now have this list, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up a random number generator. I'm going to go into randomnamepicker.com, and you can number list, right? So it's going to be 1 to 34, and it's going to put 1 to 34 numbers up on the screen, and slowly each number is going to disappear. There's probably going to be a sound with that, and it's going to leave one number, okay? So I'm going to do that now. Right. Oh, that's a horrible sound. Did you hear that, or is that just me hearing that?
I heard it, yeah.
29. Sorry, I was waiting for you to say. Yeah, do you know what?
Oh, you're waiting for me to say the name?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Lee Brace.
That is brilliant. So Lee Brace from Instagram donated on the 11th of December, right? And I think he'd already donated earlier on in the year as well, but he donated on the 11th of December. So, no, that's... I mean, you'll agree that that was completely random. And yep. That was... so I've got the list there of everyone that's done. It's been won by someone on Instagram, and no, that's great.
I like the sound of that.
So congratulations, Lee. Thank you ever so much. Thank you to everyone who did make a donation. Really, really appreciate it. And you're legends.
Now, Jez, me and you, we're both presenters on a Star Wars podcast, Generation Skywalker. And we have a very nice chap over there called Craig who does all our enhanced podcasts for that. There's a bit of talk about an enhanced Stormtrooper run, kind of highlighting the whole project, isn't there?
Yeah, I know that, you know, Craig does some really, really good enhanced podcasts where you take this standard sort of Audible podcast format and you put it into a video, so you get all the stills, all images and things just to back it up to enhance the podcast. It does exactly what it says on the tin, and they end up on YouTube. Now, I did think about making this last episode another version of this last episode and making this one an enhanced podcast. But it was Craig Grant, a couple of the lads were saying, look, why don't you do almost like a documentary or something or other from start to finish over the 4 years, showing the different stills, the different experiences. It only needs to last, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so. So yeah, we may well do an enhanced podcast for this episode. That could work. That could work for sure. Or it may be that we do an enhanced production, just sort of archiving and showing what's been done over the last 4 or 5 years. So we'll see. Watch this space on that one.
Yeah, I like the sounds of the latter. I think it's would make a wonderful video. But we will discuss that, won't we? Yeah. So watch this space, listeners. It might not be the end. No one's ever really gone. Just before we go, Jez, thank yous. I mean, so many people have supported you, and I'm sure you want to give people shout-outs.
Let's talk about the virtual medal series. You know, we've spoken about that on numerous occasions, so we're not going to labour the point about those medals. But it's the guys at My Race Run who have organised that for me. But they wouldn't have been able to do it without the incredible designs, both the designs by Mark Daniels of Sublevel Studios. So Mark is just... been a brilliant supporter of this all the way through. He's done so many other things also on Facebook, on various things which he's designed, and you know, profits and money has gone towards the fundraising. So Mark Daniels, absolutely legend, thank you so much. And My Race Run, Brooks and the Brooks family, so you know, Brooks Running have helped me out throughout this. They started providing me with trainers in 2018 and just said, no, we're happy just to do this. You know, they didn't want anything in return. They just liked the idea. They said it went with their whole run happy thing. And they've just been amazing all the way through this. So I'm so indebted to Brooks. They've been great. And again, just given the trainers now of that giveaway, it's just awesome. Family and friends, just, you know, you guys have been supporting me. We've already had Steve on today. Stu, you've been an absolute legend. You know, you have been there. You've been such a good friend through this, and the listeners as well who have been supporting. So this is the whole Star Wars community. You know, there's so many negative things out there, people worrying about negative news, negative coronavirus. Even the Star Wars fandom is just filled with negativity in so many places, apart from The Mandalorian, which is awesome. And I just want to say, you know, it's been such a privilege to be part of this. Not just this, but you know, to be part of this project, working with so many people, I'm just delighted. So thank you all.
I would say a massive thank you back to you. You know, it's such a selfless act, and I'm sure the charities appreciate it so much, what you've done for them. I mean, this year in particular, it has been a hell of a year. We see it all the time on the telly, in the media, about how the charities are struggling, and you've gone and just cracked on through knockback after knockback. Make it it's such an honourable thing to do, and you know, not many people would have persevered with it, mate, but yeah, you've been a machine.
Machine, yeah, well, yeah, sometimes just a completely broken machine, like a broken washing machine.
I feel terrible.
Before we do say goodbye, when we had Steve on, it was mentioned that your initial target of fundraising was £2,000 for these charities. What has been your final amount raised?
Well, yeah, 2016, it was a £2,000 target, and it's just gone up and up and up since then. So I'm going to give you two figures now, one with the gift aid and one without. So gift aid, for those people who aren't aware, is when people pay tax on their own earnings. And if you then make a charitable donation and tick the gift aid box to say that, yes, you're a taxpayer, the government will then supply some tax back on that. It's called gift aid. So a £10 sponsorship could turn into £12.50. This is how the websites which do all the fundraising can function, because they take a tiny amount from the gift aid, not from the donation. So cumulative fundraising since 2016, as of about 4 days ago, cumulative fundraising is £62,667, with the gift aid, and that gift aid is taken up to £69,541. So we're really, really close to £70,000. So yeah, from £2,000 to £70,000. And that's why, you know, I said earlier on, if it hadn't been for friends, family, support networks, Jedi News, Fan for Tracks, UK Garrison, yeah, that £2,000 wouldn't have been raised, let alone nearly £70,000. So yeah, it's as a project, I'm just delighted, and it is now time to stop.
I only know one truth. It's time for the Stormtrooper to end.
Nearly 70,000, mate. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible, mate.
I'm looking forward to getting past all these lockdowns, having a brighter, happier, healthier, safer future for everyone in 2021. And it's someone else's time now. Charity fundraising is always going to be needed. You know, we're there, and there is going to be lots of opportunity for people to do their bit. Or maybe a little bit more than their bit. And I'll be around in the background should anyone need any help or advice or anything like that. But for that's it for the Running Stormtrooper.
Massive, massive congratulations. You've proved that Stormtroopers really can hit their target. Mate, well done.
Thanks so much. It's really weird. We don't know how to finish it, do we?
No.
We don't. All right, no, you speak. No, you go. Yeah. No, we'll probably just bow out now, won't we? And that'll be it. Because I don't know how to finish it. We'll just
Jez,
play some music, blend out.
Yeah. Jez, congrats. I'll see you in 2 years when you decide to pull it back out again.
Mate, that's not happening. You know, me and you, maybe one day we'll get into trooping and we'll actually do it for real. But not the running. We've spoken about this.